Okay, is that me now? Okay, evening everybody. I'd like to welcome you to SPNR this evening. Hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item is ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger. Feature so we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, have we any apologies? Councillor Gallagher and Councillor Rice.
Apologies for Marie Ward and Conor Mellon.
Okay. Thank you. Any declarations of interest?
Okay. Can I declare an interest on behalf of officers in items 16 and 17, and all relevant officers will be asked to leave the meeting at that point.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to the action sheet. Okay, so if we go to page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can I have a proposer and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Murr. Councillor Sharvin, you have a question?
Yes, Chair, I do know the item was in committee, so I'll not dive into it too much, but it's page 4, the Downpatrick and County Down Railway.
It was held in committee, Gareth, so what's the question?
Yeah, no, it's just a question to council officers, is that have they actually met with the railway organisation to progress the SLA and the funding that was agreed as part of that? As you might know yourself, Chair, they are experiencing some impact with this not being resolved and the Easter events have been cancelled. So it's just to try and encourage our council officers to meet with them as quickly as possible to resolve this and get the railway back up and running again.
Yeah, absolutely. Doreen is going to be able to answer that question for you, Gareth.
Yes, so following the ratification of the last SPNR minute, the council officers have actually written to the railway and are seeking dates from the railway to meet with officers. So that offer has been made and it's essentially in progress, councillor.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Rena.
Okay, thank you. No other matters arising? No. Okay, so we'll move on to item 4. Safeguarding policy and update, and Gary Scott is going to take this.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and good evening, members. The focus of this paper is to ensure that Newry Moreland Down District Council safeguarding policy is updated to reflect the current legislation and practice guidance. There's two separate considerations for members tonight. The first is that there are three proposed amendments to the policy itself. On page 12, in the main body of the policy, at paragraph 6.9, it has been updated with the Children Act 1989 being removed and replaced with the Children Northern Ireland Order 1995, and this is to reflect local legislation rather than English legislation. Within appendix 6, page 23, this has been updated to reflect the current designated safeguarding officer arrangements to take into account redeployment, movement and people joining. And at Appendix 6, page 29, the definition of domestic violence and abuse has been updated to the current definition, which is threatening, controlling, coercive violence or abuse. That's psychological, virtual, physical, verbal, sexual, financial or emotional. Inflicted upon anyone. That's irrespective of age, ethnicity, religion, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation or any form of disability by a current or former partner or family member. And this is to reflect the current definition as outlined in the Northern Ireland Government Strategy Stopping Domestic and Sexual Violence and Abuse in Northern Ireland. And that's a Department of Justice document. And there are no other amendments made to the policy document itself. The second consideration for members relates to the updates in relation to the policy appendices. The appendices contain information which is non-contentious and subject to external influence, including new and updated legislation or regional policy and guidance, together with internal staff movement. The appendices are therefore likely to change frequently on a regular basis and be refined on an ongoing basis and ongoing implementation and review of the policy itself. So it's therefore recommended that when the appendices themselves require updating to ensure that they're current and compliant, that amendments can be made without the need to revert to the committee itself for approval to do so. That's obviously on the basis that any amendments to the policy document itself will continue to be brought forward to members for approval. So it's therefore recommended that at point one, this updated policy, that's version 3, be approved for adoption. And at point two, that members agree to the appendices being updated as required without the need to revert to the committee for approval to do so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can I have a proposer and seconder for item 4? Oh, proposed by Councillor Harrell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Does any member have any questions for Gary? Nope, everybody's content. Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you very much indeed, and I leave now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Item 5 is Castlewellan Forest Park NLHF Project Governance, and it's over to Jonathan McGilley for this.
Chair, as councillors will be aware, elected members have been sitting on a task and finish group from 2016 for the development of this project. The application was submitted and funding has been secured, and we're now at a point of moving towards implementing the project, and the council has the lease and full operational responsibility of the site. Back in 2019, this committee agreed that the council would establish a project board for the project in due course, and what is tabled this evening is a new structure and the terms of reference for that board. Those are appended, and it's basically that the project board will consist of council members as per the agreement, officers and the funder, which will deal with the management of the contract and the contractual matters. Stakeholder forum will meet separately and will involve the stakeholders of the park and will be utilised to oversee the general development of the project, the heritage aspects and the education parts of the Heritage Lottery project, all of which will report back to the project board. So what we're seeking this evening is adoption of the terms of reference for both the project board and the regeneration stakeholder forum.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Proposed by Councillor Harrell, did you want to make a few comments?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, look, I'm happy to propose this. I suppose this is a natural progression now that Council have taken over Forest Park. So it's important these structures are in place and, you know, we start to move forward and keeping the project going on. I suppose just putting record my thanks to the members of the Task and Finish Board that have got us this far, and look forward to the times ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Sharp, did you want to come in on it? I know you've wanted to second it there.
No, Chair, that's fine.
Okay. Perfect, thank you. So item 6 is Ukraine Assistance Centre. It's Michael Lipset. You're on mute, Michael. I can't see it.
All right, Chair. Are we on my item there? I had a problem with my connection. I lost you for a while there.
Yeah, we are. Are you okay? Or I can skip over it and go back to it if you want.
Yeah, if you just want to, my connection here is not great.
I'll take that, yeah.
Doreen will take it, Michael, if you want.
You see, I might have to go out and go in again, sure, sorry.
You're okay. Doreen says she'll take it, so let her go ahead.
Okay. So you'll see from the report, members, that councils have been working closely with the executive office, and councils have been asked to establish a number of Ukraine assistance centres to support the integration of Ukrainian evacuees that are arriving into Northern Ireland. So the establishment of these centres has been centred in areas where there are already Ukrainian populations. So Belfast, Newry, Craigavon and Ballymena were the first to open. Newry Leisure Centre has been identified as a suitable venue, and we opened it on Tuesday past with quite some success. You will see at 2.1 how these operate is a number of other statutory agencies all come together under one roof and present all of the various services listed to the families by way of support. It should also be noted that SMT agreed to activate Council's emergency plan in response to this crisis and have alerted the Department for Communities to that. We have already been put on notice by TEO as well that they do feel that there will be a requirement to establish a similarly suitable venue in the Downpatrick area. And again, officers have been working and have identified the Ballymoat site as possibly the best place for that. So tonight, members, the report in front of you is really to note and be updated on the work of the Council in this regard to support the Ukrainian refugees. We're asking you then to support the continued use of Newry Leisure Centre on a weekly basis as a Ukrainian assistance centre, and that if required, we will progress the Ballymoat Centre as a suitable venue in Downpatrick if required. So happy to take any comments or questions, or Michael can also.
I think I'm back now, Chair.
You're back. Okay, so a proposal from Councillor O'Mara. Councillor Shaw, would you have a question?
Yeah, really, it was just really in relation to the sort of volumes, Darina, in the first week. What are they shaping up like? And are we content that one day a week is sufficient? Or are there plans to create further outreach with those families, you know, who arrive? Some of these families are arriving from very horrendous backgrounds in a state of distress, and maybe have got a family who's offered their home to them. One of the issues that has arisen to me that needs to be dealt with is there's obviously quite a significant delay in processing of the visas. And there are a number of people who've approached me. Now, I know that the government here have said they will take a lenient view in the circumstances of people coming through from Dublin, flying into Dublin and coming, obviously given our proximity to the border, coming in to meet potential host families here and sitting waiting on visas to happen. I've had a few inquiries. We're trying to deal with the Home Office. It's probably the most antiquated, slow-moving organisation I've ever had to deal with. And, you know, I think that there's a need for support there and to ensure that Home Office, I know there's some immigration advice there, but it's very important that the flexibility that's required from the Home Office at this time until visas come through. Some people have just fled for the sake of getting out of the country. When I've arrived in Ireland via Dublin to get to Newry to host families potentially in this area or other parts of Northern Ireland. So there's an issue there that needs to be addressed. What I would be concerned would be that, you know, these people arrive in whatever day the flights arrive in, or they come in by boat, whatever the case may be. and we have one day a week to facilitate them. I'm just wondering, is there some sort of outreach service available there whereby there's a point of contact within council in between times, whatever these weekly sessions are been out. You know, I think it's important to have everybody available in a one-stop shop, but you know, I think it's when the protocol's there, what assistance can be given in between times, or do you feel that the and to be honest with you, I'm working purely on this on the basis that I don't know what the numbers and the uptake were like or what it's likely to be in the weeks ahead. But you know, I feel that some calls from people, and to be honest, I'd like to pay tribute to a lot of the host families here who have come forward and wanted to take people and take families and have offered their homes. I think that we have to take our hat off to those people, that the generosity spread of the people of our district is really coming to the fore here. But I think that we need to ensure that regardless of when or what time of the week that these people arrive, that there's connectivity within our district to deal with the emerging problems. You know, obviously we have everybody there one day in the week, but you know, this problem is going on where people are arriving on a 7-day basis. And I'm just wondering, based on the numbers and based on the potential challenges going forward and predictions going forward, you know, are we set up to be able to provide that flexibility?
Hey, thank you, Chair. If you're happy, I'll try and cover most of that. First of all, in terms of numbers on the first day, we had 9 families, 20-odd people, 25 people, something like that, as I recall. And it went very well, and the councillor's quite right. It's a very emotional time for them. There were lots of tears as well as lots of smiles. There was one family which had been separated, and then they discovered when they came to the centre that the rest of their family had actually been housed very close by to them. So that was a very emotional reunion. So there was... the centre worked very, very well. We had in all, I think, 9 agencies, plus we had our own ethnic minority centre staff there. Counting us, there was 10, and we had the programmes unit there. So if you want to include them as just the council, there was 10 different agencies there. In terms of ongoing support, our ethnic minorities centre is open all week, as you know. They are being given information on that. Arda is there, Justine is there, quite a few staff in the programmes unit are there adding support. So they're aware that that centre is there and that they can make appointments anytime to come in. The issue around the one day a week isn't of our making. Executive Office CEO are running this. They have allocated us one day at this point, which they think is sufficient. That may change depending on demand. But at this point, you've got 9-10 agencies which have to be coordinated. They need to have interpreters. Those agencies had anywhere between 2 and 6 staff with them on the day. It was a very full day. 9 families doesn't sound like a lot, but it took us a full day to get them through and process them through all the different agencies. So, you know, we have people from the Law Society, the Law Centre there, who are helping them with their visas. We have been helping them even before the centre opened through the Ethnic Minority Centre and through the Law Society. So we have already helped a number of families to obtain visas and to assist them through that application process, and that will be ongoing. We had jobs and benefits there, education, Northern Ireland Housing Executive, the Health Trust, the Red Cross, the Law Centre, as I said. We had volunteer now, and we had our own staff there. So there was quite a lot of staff there from all the different agencies. Directing your question on the Home Office. The Home Office actually intend to be there next week. So on next Tuesday, the Home Office will be present for the full day. Okay. They've requested a separate room because of all the biometric testing and so on that they have to do. But they are hopefully going to be there next week and hopefully every week from there on in, so as the visas can be expedited on that day. So this is something that's very new, obviously to us and the other agencies, and something that we've been playing catch up on, to be perfectly frank, and will continue to do so over the coming weeks and months as we continue to support these families. One of the issues we found, for example, was we had given over one of the multi-purpose rooms and the what was the cafe, which, as you know, has been closed now for some time, and also the soft play area. So we had allocated that particular area, including the kitchen and the cafe where we were serving tea and coffee and biscuits and so on. That turned out to be nowhere near big enough for all of the agencies and the nine families that were there pretty much all at the same time. So we're now going to have to look at the Acord Hall for next Tuesday, plus the cafe, plus the meeting room as well, the multi-purpose room too, which is right beside the cafe, and the soft play area. So we're going to be closing quite a large chunk of this leisure centre down every Tuesday. That will obviously cause some issues in terms of bookings and regular users, but we're trying to work through that. It's only one day at this point, so we think we can juggle those bookings around. Obviously, if we have to then start looking at ramping that up on more days of the week, that's going to cause more and more disruption. But there were other issues around IT, and we're trying to get those resolved because all the different agencies have different IT requirements, different security requirements back at their head offices and their head IT departments. The government departments, as you know, are very, very stringent on security and data breaches and all of that stuff. So we're trying to work through that as well. But I can say it worked very, very well. Our staff were fantastic on the day. The staff from all the agencies were fantastic. And everybody was very happy going away that they had been dealt with in a very kind and humane and helpful and courteous manner. I think all told we had something like 10 interpreters there on the day as well, pretty much one for each agency. We have Arthur, who is a fluent Ukrainian speaker, who was there as well on standby. So yeah, it went very well. The issue for us is, will they want us to ramp it up more days? Will there be more families next week? We don't know. Will they want us to set up in Downpatrick? I think that's probably likely. It's hard to tell. We do have families in Downpatrick, in the Downpatrick area, and we do have families in the Ballinahinch area as well. So I would have thought some kind of outreach closer to those families is probably required and something we'd like to see. But again, the executive office are running the show. They're coordinating all of this, which isn't easy, as you'll understand. So yeah. The minute we've got one day, there are four of these centres. That does leave another day a week. It does leave the weekends. It does mean that you could stagger it over a fortnight. I hope I've answered pretty much all of your questions in that somewhere.
Yeah, Michael, that's a very comprehensive report. And again, I would like to pay tribute to our staff and your team for the work that they've done. I've had very positive reports back from the families and resident or relatives of families who went through that and felt they got a very warm welcome. And, you know, my concern, just as on that was their concern, was with the delays around the visas. And I'm glad that the Home Office have now stepped up to the plate and will play their role. But again, pass on my congratulations and thanks to everybody involved, especially the way it was turned around such short notice. Thank you.
Chair, one other thing I should say, that I think of the nine families, eight of them turned up without visas. So I think that's why the Home Office have realised that they probably need a presence in these centres. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was actually going to be my question too. So if I just go on to Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, thank you, Una. Listen, I've had my sort of queries addressed there. I fully concur with the sentiments and comments of Councillor Savage, and I'm very heartened by that summary that Michael has given there. So congratulations to all the council staff involved in setting this facility up and indeed the running of it. I'm particularly delighted to hear that the visas can be process retrospectively. It goes without saying, Chairperson, certainly from my point of view, the British government's response to this whole crisis with the refugees has been nothing short of disgraceful compared to the European countries, and particularly the government in Dublin, who have basically threw open the doors to recognise the seriousness of the situation. Whilst people coming through that UK visa scheme have to fill in a 50-page application requirement for people that are quite literally running for their lives with the only items they have in many instances, all the clothes on their back. And this morning, I actually was reading a story about a family who were taken off a British Airways plane sitting on the tarmac in Poland after having been waved through the usual checks because one of them physically hadn't got their passport on their person, rather had a photographed copy. So it's, I mean, the work that our council officials are doing to help these people is in sharp contrast to the government in Westminster. But we're better late than never to get these things operational. Ukrainian people are wonderful people. There's many of them being hosted in this area, and they are all very, very welcome. So well done to everybody concerned, and I would like to second the proposal that we accept the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jarda. So proposed by Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Tinley. Councillor McMurray?
Thank you, Chair. No, I wasn't planning on coming, but just on hearing what Mr. Lipset sort of recounted there, I think, I mean, just to echo the thanks to the staff that were involved in that is really quite phenomenal. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Okay, so if we move on to item 7, allocation of special responsibility allowances, and it's over to Jarena.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you'll be aware that at the January FPNR committee, we had a discussion around the reallocation of special responsibility allowances that were outstanding and due to be reallocated. It was decided that committee to bring the issue back to the Party Representatives Forum for further discussion. It was discussed again at the March meeting of that group, and the group asked that options regarding the allocation of SRAs were brought back to this committee. So that's the paper in front of you tonight. You'll see at 2.2 the parameters or the guidance that we're working within as laid out by the department. And the discussion at the last SPNR committee, if you recall, was around the practice that has been adopted to date. So that's laid out for you at 2.3. For the first 3 years of the new council, any unallocated SRAs were given out 50% to the chair of planning and 50% divided equally amongst the remaining positions attracting an SRA. And then from the next 3 years of council, from 2019 on, that decision was changed and it was agreed that any outstanding be split equally amongst those other positions receiving SRA. So we have in front of us now two outstanding SRAs, and they will be there to be reallocated from the date that they became available to the next AGM. So we have four options as to how you might wish to do that. They're laid out for you at section 3.1, and it's so we're looking proposals from the floor then as to how members wish to reallocate these.
Thanks, Jarena. Councillor O'Mara.
Thanks a million, Chair. Yeah, our position on this has been pretty consistent. We believe that the most fair and equitable way of dealing with this issue that isn't ideal is just to split them equally among everyone else who's on an SRA, because in our view, to do it any other way, to pick one out, like to pick the chair of, let's say Sinn Féin proposed that we give it to the chair of FPNR because Una Hanlon's in the chair, or if some other party chose to pick another committee. You're creating a hierarchy of committees. You're trying to say that one committee works harder than others, or one chair works harder than others. And I think we all know that it's not an easy task chairing any of the positions. So we had this at group leaders. Just got batted forward and back at group leaders. And our position on it, we don't think that it should be awarded or rewarded, or 50% of it should be awarded to anyone, but rather it should be split across all the other SRAs, meaning that it's small money, it's a small amount when it gets split 18 ways or whatever it is, 14 ways. So that's what our party position is on it anyway, so we're happy to propose that.
Can I just confirm, Councillor, you're proposing option one in the report to retain the current position of allocating any outstanding SRAs amongst those positions that receive SRA payments?
That's the one.
I'm happy to second that proposal, Barra. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Obviously, there's a proposal and second that, on the table, but I just want to outline the consistent approach that I and our party have taken to this from when I got involved in council in 2016. We had outlined and created the situation in 2015-16, right up to the end of 18, that the Chair of Planning and the Planning Committee had to be recognised for the extent of the work that goes on within that committee. It is not about creating a hierarchy of any committees. You're talking about a committee that meets all day, goes on site visits, has a planning briefing call-in panel, of which members are involved in as well, that other committees don't have. This is not trying to set something apart that hasn't been done before. This was trying to be consistent. And the only reason that that changed in 2019, so it stayed in effect from 2015 up to 2019, that the Chair of Planning received 50% of the SRAs, is because we find ourselves in the same situation that we find ourselves now in, which there was two SRAs. And under the guidance, you cannot give 50% of two SRAs because it brings the allocation of SRAs up to two, and one person can only hold one. That's why the options came back in 2019 change it, and that's why we deviated away from the consistent approach that we had. So when it came back that we had an SRA back up, and it was only one at the time, and I know this paper shows that it is two, we had the opportunity to go back to the consistent approach that we had from 2015 that only deviated because there was two. So it's something that needs to be cleared up coming into the next term. I think at the next AGM, you're going to have people moving out of SRAs for all different reasons, for health reasons, for personal reasons or whatever. And we cannot have papers coming back where councillors are making decisions on SRAs because there's conflict of interests left, right and centre. When you have 18 people trying to make decisions on SRAs, it should be in some sort of guidance that should SRAs become available, that this is the system that we follow. And that's where our comments come from 2015, that changed in 2019. With the two SRAs that are here now, options three is clearly off the table, because you can't give somebody 50% of two SRAs. I'd have been happy with option four, but you know, I'm not going to make a meal about it. There's a proposal on the table, and we'll deal with it the next AGM. But I do want to stress that we have to have this sorted at the next AGM. We've dealt with this issue four times since I've been in council, and I don't want to be making decisions on SRAs. I want it to be clearly laid out so we know what happens in the event. And surely all parties will try their best to try and make sure that there is no duplication of SRAs. But sometimes it's not in our, you know, it's not in our hands to do that. But yeah, the proposal's on the table, so just to add that comment.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. And, you know, it isn't ideal, and it does happen for different reasons. But again, I think if we can encourage every party at the AGM to try and avoid this situation, it would be welcome. Okay, so we're going into closed session now, okay? So items 8 to 18 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So if I could ask for a proposal and seconder to go into closed session. So proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Okay, guys, thanks for your patience there. Okay, so whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 8, extension of lease with the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, Downshire Civic Centre, Downpatrick, on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Howell. It was agreed that elected members approve the new rental valuation for the duration of the 2 to 3 year extension of this lease with no further rent review to take place in the 2 to 3 year extended term. Item 9, proposed lease of the Generator House, Newcastle Harbour, Newcastle. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members approved to extend the term of years previously agreed from 5 to 25 years in respect of the proposed lease of the Generator House, Newcastle Harbour, subject to revised departmental consent from the Department of Communities. Item 10, Ban Road, Castlewell and Storm Attenuation Project, on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. It was agreed that elected members approve the following recommendations. Members to note the content of this report and approve to add an additional 36,000 to the capital programme budget for this project. Item 11, Director Recruitment, on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor O'Mara, it was agreed that elected members agree to note the contents of the report and A, approve the recruitment for a Director of Corporate Services and B, confirm their agreement to the proposal at 2.3 of the report. Item 12, Surplus Assets Update, on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members approve the following recommendation. Abbey Heights Amenity Area, to proceed with the outline planning application as per Appendix D. Daisy Hill Grills House section, to proceed to open market as per Appendix D. Item 13, 2022-23 insurance premiums. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed that elected members agree to review and approve the payments of the insurance premiums of 2022-23 at the cost outlined in the officer's report. Item 14, the Belfast Regional City Day Project Governance, Mourne's Gateway, on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Howell. It was agreed that elected members approve the project governance arrangements for the Mourne Gateway project as detailed in the report. Item 15, retirement on grounds of ill health. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed that elected members note the contents of the report and agree all employees who, since 1st of April 2020, have terminated their employment under Newry Morningdown District Council managing attendance procedure due to ill health retirement, be paid a leave and payment which mirrors the statutory notice provisions as set out in Employment Rights Law Order 1996. And B, going forward, employees who due to ill health retirement terminate their employment under Newry Morningdown District Council managing attendance procedure be eligible to receive a leave and payment which mirrors the statutory notice provisions that set out in Employment Rights Order 1996. Item 16, Business Administration and Voluntary Redundancy. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor O'Mara, it was agreed that elected members note the contents of the report and to agree in principle that SMT, Senior Management Team, can progress with the 49 Voluntary Redundancy Expression of Interest application. As detailed in this report, any voluntary redundancy recommendations will be subject to a formal consultation and all applicants will be required to make a formal voluntary redundancy application which will be subject to a further SP&R committee approval and this will also be subject to formal consultation with trade unions. Item 17, Planning for the Future Update, on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Savage. It was agreed that elected members approve the following recommendations. To pause the voluntary redundancy of Tier 3 posts to be revisited by August SPNR Committee. Approve the recruitment of Assistant Director of Finance and Performance and Assistant Director of Capital and Procurement via a publicly advertised recruitment process. Okay, item 18, on the proposal of Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor McGinnett, it was agreed to note the contents of the annual Digital Communication and Marketing Activity Report, April 2021 to the 31st of March 2022.